time, we would like to introduce our first speaker. Her name is Betty H. She's from Central Maryland. She'll be sharing on Step 5.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I'm Betty, and I'm an addict. And today I have 10,870 days clean. And y'all are all welcome to come to my home group at Works How and Why in Greenbelt, Maryland, and celebrate my 30th anniversary with me July 22nd. No, July 23rd is the Monday. So I have a home group. I have a sponsor who has a sponsor. My sponsor lives out in Phoenix, Arizona. And so as I talk to you about the fifth step today, I don't want to hear nothing about hooking up with your sponsor, because I get on a plane and I fly to Arizona to do my step work, because that's how much it means to me. And what I'd like to do, because the way that my mind works, is to tell you what I know from our literature, then tell you what I do with my sponsees, and then share with you my experience. And what I know from our literature, and I'm so grateful that we have this step working guide, and the reason that we write the steps, all the steps, is so that we can internalize the spiritual principles attached to the steps. And they really, really are, for me, the spiritual experiences that lead to the spiritual awakening in the 12th step. And if you're new in recovery, I just want to invite you to the miracle of recovery this morning. Or if you're coming back, or if you're an addict who's been here who is disconnected and for some reason suffering or struggling with your recovery, I invite you to the miracle of recovery this morning and ask you just to hold on no matter what. Find that person that you trust and tell them what's going on in your life. It can be the difference between life and death. And you have a seat here. No matter how much everybody has pissed you off and you don't want to be here, you have a seat here. There's been many times I've wanted to resign from NA in the last almost 30 years. Many times. I think it's a natural feeling some days to want to just be done. And it talks about that in our New Living Clean book, Why Do We Stay? So I invite you to the miracle recovery. I promise you that if you do five simple things, which is not pick up just for today, just for this hour, come to a meeting, which you're already here, find somebody you trust, watch them, ask them to be your sponsor, learn how to pray to the best of your ability, whatever that means, whatever that looks like for you, and reach back for another suffering addict, that the miracle of recovery will happen in your life. And that reaching back is what gives me hope every time that I go to a meeting. Reaching back for that new person, or watching for that person who walks in my home group that I've never seen before, knowing they're probably crawling out of their skin, like I was when I went to my first meeting, and walking up to them and saying, welcome. It makes a difference between life and death for people, and I know that it did for me. And it still does, because there are still days that I walk into meetings where I'm crawling out of my skin some days. And for someone to step to me and say welcome, even though they may know I have time or may know me, but to say welcome means the world to me, and I always know that I'm home. And when I see people's faces that I've grown up with in recovery, I know I always have an anchor and a place to go. And so that's why it's really important for me to show up, to be that to another suffering addict. And it doesn't have to just be the person new in recovery. I would imagine that most all of us throughout our recovery have been a suffering addict at some point in our recovery. And so, you know, that I had a sponsor who told me that you'll know when you're ready to do... when you'll know that you're ready, that it's time to do the fourth step when you put pen to paper and begin to write. And I recently was let go by my sponsor about, I guess, 2 or 3 years ago, and I had to find another sponsor. Well, I'm 50 plus years old. I'm maybe 26, 27 years clean at the time, and pickings are slim. They're very, very slim, because a lot of people I came in with didn't stay. They did not stay. And I'm not saying that your sponsor has to have more time than you. I'm just saying that I'm 58 years old. My life and the quality of my life and the concerns of my life change. And finding somebody who had what I wanted and who I knew could guide me in this chapter of my journey was really hard. And I was speaking for a sponsee's anniversary, and I shared this, and I said, it's just, I'm having a hard time, I'm stuck. And two people looked at each other and said, Carol G. from Arizona. They came up and said, you've got to call this woman. And I did, and it was like I had known her my whole life. And I never met her until almost 7 or 8 months after she became my sponsor at a women's convention in Virginia. And it was like I had known her my whole life. And so when I went out to do yet another fourth step with yet another person, someone new, I have to tell you that I was scared. I wrote it like there was no fifth step. I didn't go on a treasure dig for everything that was screwed up about me in my whole life. You know, an inventory is of what's on the shelf now. You can't inventory what's not there, so don't make it up. Don't go on a treasure dig. And to write it like there's no fifth step. And so I went with her. I went to her cabin up in the mountains in Payson, Arizona. And I began the process of my fifth step. And I had to identify on the plane, on the way out to Phoenix, what my fears were and be able to talk to her before we started the fifth step. What was I afraid of? I was afraid of being judged. I was afraid of the shame that I would feel. I was afraid of you thinking less of me. And so I had to talk to her about what I was afraid of before we got started. And then we invited God in. And the reason, you know, it talks about the reason that we invite God in, and that is, one, to further build out that relationship with God, that this is a dialogue. It's a two-way, not a one-way. It's not like when I was little and I would go in confession and I would make a bunch of shit up because I knew that's what they were looking for. And then I would get sentenced to like hours of penance and tons of prayers that I would just screw up and not finish. And then I would have to go in confession and confess that I didn't finish the prayers in the previous confession. And I was so overwhelmed, I just gave up. I just gave up. But it's not like that. It's a dialogue. And so inviting God in is to build the relationship, and it's one more time turning my will over as I invite God in to do this fifth step. And our literature suggests that whatever it is that your prayer is before you start this, that's yours. And that's something that you do. And to find that place of peace to begin this journey of the fifth step. And then as we admit to ourselves, we admit our own, to our deepest innermost selves is why we admit to ourselves, so that we can come to a place of acceptance, we can come to a place of forgiveness, and that we can surrender to become willing to be changed, for those patterns to truly be changed. And it's the, again, that dialogue for me with the God that lives in my heart. And and then another human being. And it's someone who can help us sort out what is and what isn't our responsibility. Not everything in my fourth step was mine. It just wasn't. You know, I had sexual abuse. I had decided that little girl should have had adult judgment when it came to that. She should have known, she should have told, she should have stopped it. I lived with that and shot so much dope over that, I can't begin to tell you. And it wasn't until I shared that with somebody that they helped me see what my, that wasn't mine. It absolutely wasn't mine, and I was freed. I was freed from the shame that that little girl carried. And so we go to that innermost place and we have that conversation. And then we have to say, who is it that we trust? And our literature does say it does not have to be your sponsor. My first fifth step was with a therapist. I had to get outside help because I had to, it's one thing to tell that, but then how do you heal from that? How do you change the years of conversations between your ears about something that was done to you that broke you? And it was that broke little girl that sought the path of active addiction. I didn't come out the womb wanting to get high. It was a series of experiences that I made some decisions about my self-worth and who I was on this earth that didn't deserve to do anything more than the life I had chosen in active addiction. And so I had to have somebody help me change that conversation because a lot of bad information was born of that and then fed through my active addiction. So I had to get some outside help. And then making sure that person can respond to you appropriately. If they don't know what it is we're doing here, if they don't know what it is that we do in recovery from addiction, then chances are, you know, maybe rethinking that choice. So at the time, you know, when I got here, there weren't a lot of people, and the sponsor that I had was male, and he was an old man. He didn't want anything from me but to help me and save my life. But I just, it was something I couldn't share. It was just something I couldn't share, so I got some outside help. And then, you know, making sure that person can be objective and help you in a loving, caring way see your part. And it says that person needs to have integrity. And integrity, defined in our literature, is the commitment to live by the spiritual principles of recovery. So does that person that you're getting ready to do that fifth step with live by the spiritual principles of recovery? Because that's where I got my help. That's where I got my help. So what I'd like to do is also share with you the way that I do a fifth step with my sponsees. I think that the way I work with my sponsees out of the step guide, I think it's the most pain in the ass literature I've ever read, but the most beautiful and life-changing. And if you haven't, I encourage you to give yourself that shot of hope for change, because it is profound and it is changing. And I don't ask a sponsee to answer all the questions at one time. It's painstaking, and it can be very, very overwhelming. And so, for instance, we sit down and we go over sections at a time. The relationship section. And oh, by the way, if you want to know you're in the right relationship, read page 112 in the 11th step. Right there in the second paragraph, it says, whether you're in a relationship that's your will or God's will. Page 112, if you want to write that down. If you want to know the truth. And so that's one sitting in and of itself, because that, I don't know about you, but when I got here, I knew nothing about being in a relationship. I got in the one they warned you about my first year. He was fresh out of St. Elizabeth's on Martin Luther King Avenue. And he had 3 months, 90 days, and I had 6 months, and we were a match made in heaven. And my mean old sponsor, Henry the Plumber, said, two flakes make a storm, and you got a blizzard going on. And I said, but Henry, I love him. And he said, what do you know about love? Look at you. And it was true. I didn't know a thing about love. I didn't know a thing about relationships. As a matter of fact, I was the kind of person, I always left before you made me leave. So then I didn't, you know, so I always felt like I had the upper hand. You know, I knew nothing about sticking and staying. I knew nothing about working through stuff. You know, I didn't have a clue. And so that relationship section, I think, is so important. And I think that it's a really good opportunity whenever you go through a divorce or a breakup to review those questions to see maybe if there's been some backsliding, maybe some repair that needs to be done on the relationship, in the relationship area. And so that's one thing we do alone. And then the sexual abuse part, that's a section, and it comes right before assets. I find it very hard to go from sexual abuse to assets in the same conversation. And so that's a section that I think really deserves, for one, me as a sponsor to know my limitations. I'm not a therapist as a sponsor, and to know what my limitations are and how that sexual abuse might have impacted your life and your recovery, but how it impacts you and healing, I'll be the first to tell you that that may be something you want to seek outside help on. If you got here when you're adult, it's a long-standing problem. And it's not going to get better overnight. So I'll be the first to tell you, my experience was I had to get outside help with it and have somebody let me off the hook, help me heal, and know it wasn't because I was less than or because God didn't care about me that those things happened to me. You know, just as God couldn't stop me from putting drugs in my body, when that was my will, when people have the intent to harm, that's their will. And sometimes we are the object of it. And so, you know, my God didn't leave me. It's just the power of that person's will to harm me was greater. And so the asset section is something that I do separately too. Because I'm all about, like, wanting to help you be the best person that you can be. That's who I am, because that's what's been given to me, is to help you be the best person that you can be and to help you recognize that some of those defects, some of those patterns were really assets that were completely, completely turned upside down by using. Being a leader, my sixth grade report card says, Betty would be a great leader if she wasn't leading everyone off the cliff. Seriously, if it said go right, that's what you're supposed to do, I would have as many people as I could and all allies going left and finding out what it is we're not supposed to do. I love living on the edge or even over the edge, between splat and the edge. That's how I like to live. And if you'll come with me, come on. But today, that same person serves her country, holds the rank of commander, lieutenant colonel, if you're in the Army or know about the Army, and I lead in serving my country. And so I say that to say, you know, some of our assets that got, you know, twisted while we're using can then again become assets. So I think that section is really important, to have somebody help you see the light in those things in you. And so that's how I work the fifth step with my sponsees. And then at the end of that, our literature suggests by now we are so sick of our character defects that fueled our patterns that we now become willing to go on to step six. So that's hopefully one of the feelings that you have when you're done with step six, is sick of yourself. I mean, step four, is sick of yourself and willing to jump into the sixth step and have those things identified, and in seven, have them ask God to have them removed. Now, what I did with my sponsor was to fly out to Phoenix, where she lives, drive up to her cabin, but on the plane, I was reading through our step guide, and that very last section says, secrets. Do you have any secrets? And today, I just want each of you to search your hearts that may have already done a fifth step and ask yourself, is there a stone that perhaps you left unturned? This is my experience. This was last summer, and I flew out there, and that damn Section Secrets was eating a hole in me because I knew that I trusted this person. And to not tell her, to me, would have been to negate the trust that I felt for her. And I was going through the steps, and for the first time in my recovery, in almost 29 years, I guess I had 28 at the time, trust and courage happened at the same time. And I shared with her something I had never shared with another human being in my life, because one of my babies, who just had 3 years, shared the same thing with me. I'd been her sponsor for maybe a year and a half, 2 years, and this person was 3 years clean, trusted me enough to tell me. And when I got out to my sponsor, trust and courage happened at the same time for me. And I told my sponsor, and I was free. I was free. I experienced the freedom that we hear about in the fifth step for the first time in my recovery. I'm not suggesting that it take you 28 years. I'm just suggesting that if you're like me and you maybe left a stone unturned, that you turn it over and that you tell that person that you trust. And don't you know, my sponsor had the same experience. And I cried and I cried and I cried. And all that shame and all that humiliation and all that guilt right-sized me because it was gone. And it wasn't that pocket in my heart that made me less than anymore. So I say that there is a freedom, and it's one I really hope that I have described to you today. I just want to thank you for helping me stay clean today. I want to thank the Dulles Corridor area for asking me to speak. It's an honor, and you're all invited to my anniversary. It works how wine green belt. We'll set out extra chairs. Thank you very much. Love you.